sword of omens. Give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Optimus Solo, what are you doing here?
I'm always here.
Yes, yes. In the background.
Yes, just not always talking.
Yes, yes. This is Tooncast, and this is going to be a clip that plays in front of Tooncast episode 293 to 299, because apparently you've created a third personality or a second personality for yourself. You're just now another 80s geek or something like that.
There's this guy I know. He's called Just Another 80s Geek, and he's got this video thing that he does on the YouTubes and things like that. So, yeah, it's called Geek Showcase. It's a chance to highlight all things geeky in a video form, so branching out from just audio. So this will be a chance for you to see all kinds of geeky things, whether they be toys, whether it be just graphics on the screen with top 10 lists and things of that nature, opening packs of cards, going through geeky memorabilia, knickknacks, paddywhacks, give a dog a bones, anything like that. So yes, you should check out the YouTube channel Geek Showcase, but to give you guys kind of a feel for what kind of stuff goes there, minus the visual part, we're also giving it to you in audio form right here on Tooncast and podcast.
That's right. So if you hear Kevin say something like, you can see this on the screen, it's because this was originally a video where he would put up his diagram of his ultimate Saturday morning cartoon lineup. And you are starting, this is why we're starting in episode 293 to 299, because those are the next episodes I had available. And you're starting with 1983 all the way up to 1989 and going through basically your ultimate Saturday morning cartoon lineup.
Yeah, basically I've seen a lot of people post stuff on social media over the years, whether it be Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and they always have like, ooh, the best cartoon lineup, or this lineup versus this lineup, or they do drafts, or they do different things. So I thought I was going to do my take on that basically. So I've created a list for each year from 1983 to 1989. I explain on the records here why I don't do 80, 81, and 82, but just real quickly, it's just too hard. There's not enough cartoons out yet for the 80s to do those years. So it starts in 1983, goes to 1989. There's a bunch of rules that I outline in record, so you'll have to listen to that, mainly in the 1983 record. I won't do that as much in the subsequent episodes. If you want the dirt on how these lists were developed, you have to listen to the 1983 episode first.
All right, well, that's going to do it, and let the show begin. Yay!
Hello, this is Just Another 80s Geek, and you are tuned in to the Geek Showcase, where we highlight any and all things geeky. We are today going to continue a series that we started a little while back, going through the ultimate Saturday morning cartoon lineup. We've already done episodes for 1983, 84, and 85, so today, that brings us to 1986. If you don't know what that means or what we're doing, please go back, find the 1983 episode. I explain all the rules there. I don't want to do it again here, but we're basically coming up with 8 cartoons for each year that had to air episodes in that year. I can't use a cartoon twice, and there's a theme for every time slot. So if you have been paying attention, you've seen all of the cartoons that we've aired or that we've talked about so far. The likes of G.I. Joe and He-Man have already been mentioned, Smurfs, Inspector Gadgets, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Muppet Babies, Transformers, Voltron, Gem, She-Ra, a lot of good stuff out there. So we had 1983, 84, 85, now we are at 1986. We start at the 8 o'clock time slot, we go in through the noon hour basically. So let's just jump right into it. Enough of the rules and regulations. Let's start with our 8 o'clock time slot. And in the previous years, that has been, in 1983, it was a combo of Superbook and Flying House. 1984 was Get Along Gang. 1984-85 was The Raccoons. And in 1986, we're going with a show called The Mysterious Cities of Gold. The Mysterious Cities of Gold aired 39 episodes from 1986 to 1987. It was broadcast on Nickelodeon. It actually showed repeats on Nickelodeon all the way through the end of the decade, 1990 area. So it was on for basically the second half of the decade. It was done by Gene Chalopin and Bernard Derise. And the music was done by Saban and Levy, who did a lot of cartoons, obviously, throughout time. They took the Japan soundtrack theme, and they kind of switched it up. They wanted it to make it more Western. They brought along one of their notable companions, cohorts, who was a singer. His name was Noam Cannell. I might be getting that name pronounced wrong, but it's Noam Cannell. And he has sung a lot of stuff for Saban and Levy. The reason I bring this up is because the theme song for Mysterious Cities of Gold is easily one of the best theme songs ever. I'm not just exaggerating. Like, not only is it one of the best 80s cartoon theme songs, it's one of the best cartoon theme songs ever. And I have it actually set as my ringtone. So when someone calls me, it literally plays the theme song to Mysterious Cities of Gold. I like it that much. But Noam Cannell also did, for some geeks out there might know this, the I Have the Power song from Secret of the Sword. That was the guy who sang that song. So he's the singer for the Mysterious Cities of Gold theme song as well. Mysterious Cities of Gold has gone on to, you know, spawn a couple of computer/video games more recently, or at least in the last 10, 15 years. And it actually had a reboot in 2012 that lasted for 4 seasons and over 100 episodes. Mysterious Cities of Gold is just a great adventure series, obviously centered around gold and, you know, back in the explored time period, etc. But it was also notable for me because it was one of the first examples of anime in the West. So like I said, with Superbook and Flying House, same thing goes here for Mysterious Cities of Gold. Gives us that anime feel, that anime style, and we didn't have a lot of that at the time as kids growing up through the 80s. So I remember it for the anime style, I remember it for the theme song, and I remember it for being a decently written show. And like I said, it lasted for almost half the decade, so I feel like it deserves its spot, and it will fit in with the theme along with the Superbook, Get Along Gang, and Raccoon. So that is our 8 o'clock show, Mysterious Cities of Gold. Let's see what we get to watch at 8:30. The 8:30 time slot, following in the steps of Smurfs, Heathcliff, and The Littles, we get The Snorks. The Snorks aired 68 episodes from 1984 to 1988. Again, almost half the decade there. It was the 18th most episodes aired in the 80s out of any cartoon. And this was another Hanna-Barbera series, just like The Smurfs, and it has a lot of connections to The Smurfs. So Smurfs is a series that was, you know, a Belgium series adapted for America that was done by Peyo. And basically there's this guy named Freddy Monickendam. I might be getting that name wrong as well, but Freddy Monickendam, who helped kind of negotiate contracts for rights and things like that. And so he helped Peyo get the contract between Smurfs and Hanna-Barbera. And he wanted Smurfs to be way more mainstream. Peyo wanted it to be much more authentic and stick true to the original writing and comics and everything like that. So there was a big legal battle between rights and money, etc. And out of that, Monickendam decided to go find a series, search out a series that he could get a hold of to compete with Smurfs and kind of take it to Peyo in one-on-one competition, I guess. So he found a comic book series or a comic book story that had debuted in 1982 from a guy named Nick Broca called Snorks. And he ended up helping him, you know, get some deals and eventually got his hands on it, etc., and wanted to, you know, have Snorks compete with Smurfs. Ironically, they both air on Hanna-Barbera, or both come from Hanna-Barbera, so I don't know how much of a competition that is. Obviously, Smurfs becomes the more iconic property out of those two. Snorks never quite hit that level, but Snorks was successful in and of itself. Like I said, 18th most episodes, aired for almost half the decade. It's kind of like Smurfs Underwater. It's got a decent theme song, and it's got a great voice cast. Michael Bell does one of the main roles. You have Frank Welker, Rob Paulsen, BJ Ward, Nancy Cartwright. Also interesting of note, it was one of Cam Clark's first voice gigs. Cam Clark had some voice work in Smurfs and Snorks, which are kind of his entree into the world of voice acting that he would become obviously very iconic in. So Snorks is our 8:30 show. Fits the theme with Smurfs, Heathcliff, and the Littles. I like Snorks. I went back and watched it for a project that I was involved with, and I think Snorks is fairly well written. Kind of reminds you of a combination between what you would see with like the Jetsons and the Flintstones, but in that world of what we get a lot through the 80s, which is these massive casts of young characters like we get in the Smurfs, you know, specifically, or, you know, you can think of anything like we talked about with last 1985's episodes with like the Wuzzles or the Littles or the Raccoons. You kind of get this big ensemble cast of mostly younger folks with a few more mature role models, etc. So I like the Snorks. It's kind of like a sitcom combined with Smurfs, and then you throw it underwater. So It works for me. That's what's going to be our 8:30 time slot. Let's move on and see what we get to view in our 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, following the footsteps of Inspector Gadget, Alvin and the Chipmunk, and then the theme starts with the Wuzzles, we're going to get The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Makes sense. Wuzzles and Adventures of the Gummy Bears are Disney's first series from their television animation studio. Adventures of the Gummy Bear aired 47 episodes within the 80s, 95 episodes total because they aired till 1991, so some of those were in the 90s. And it aired on NBC for most of its run. It switched over to ABC in its final season. What Gummy Bears is known for more than Wuzzles, though, is that not just being Disney's first, but kind of really changing the game in a number of different ways. First of all, it had a huge budget. So animation-wise, everything looked different, better, upgraded than what we had seen previous. And it actually ended up where a lot of other animation studios were trying to play catch-up at that point because of what Disney was able to offer there. And then, of course, Gummy Bears kind of paves the way for the Disney afternoon shows like DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Gargoyles, etc. And it's interesting because Gummy Bears and Gargoyles are the ones not based on previous Disney characters or properties. You know, DuckTales, Rescue Ranger, Tailspin, those are all characters that were kind of done in a different way that we had seen before. Gummy Bears and Gargoyles kind of tread their own path, I guess you could say. And the success of Gummy Bears is what leads us to get those types of shows that I just mentioned. Gummy Bears was created by Michael Eisner. It obviously originated over the gummy bear candy. It was kind of the idea. Obviously, it goes a lot farther away from that when it comes to its actual concept. And again, this maybe 1986 was going to be known for its theme songs, because the theme song to The Adventures of the Gummy Bears is amazing. Probably top three 1980s cartoon theme songs, along with Mysterious Cities of Gold. And interesting to note, it was performed by Joseph Williams, who was the frontman for Toto, the band Toto. And if you don't know who Joseph Williams is, he's the son of John Williams. John Williams, the famous composer. You know, the guy that does all the music in Star Wars? Yeah, his son, Joseph Williams, sings The Adventure to the Gummy Bears theme song. That's crazy. So Gummy Bears is a hugely successful, hugely influential show. There's no way you can have an 80s list that doesn't include The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. So that is why it finds itself here at our 9 o'clock time slot. Moving on to 9:30, we get one of the big heavy hitters here. This show aired the fifth most episodes in all of the decade. 120 episodes in the 1980s. Actually, 147 overall. It was another show that kind of bridged the gap and went into the 90s, so it airs until 1991. So 147 episodes total, 120 of them in the 1980s. We're talking about the real Ghostbusters, not to be confused with Filmation's Ghostbusters. That's why they added the word real on there. They wanted to distinguish themselves from a series that was already being done by Filmation called Ghostbusters, so they add the real part. So this one's the real one, and what I mean by that is it is based off of the actual movie that everybody knows from the 80s, the Ghostbusters movies. So you have Peter Venkman, Egon Spengler, Ray Stantz, Winston, Janine, you know, all those types of people, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, etc. So, and a great voice cast to go along with that. They did some great work finding that. A couple of them switched because of some things that happened throughout the season. So for Peter Venkman, we're going to get the combination of Lorenzo Music and Dave Coulier from Full House. From Egon Spengler, we're going to get the Brain, Maurice LaMarche. For Ray Stantz, we're going to get the legendary voice actor Frank Welker. And then for Winston Zeddemore, we're going to get a combination of Arsenio Hall and Buster Jones. We also have Laura Summer and Kath Soucie doing Janine, and a bunch of other actors, obviously, as well. There was a spinoff called Extreme Ghostbusters. There was action figures produced by Kenner. This was a Deke show, just like we've seen so many. It aired on ABC, and obviously it's super successful. I mean, the Ghostbusters as a franchise is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. We have seen all the different live-action movies, etc. So, obviously, the cartoon deserves its spot. It's probably one of the best cartoons that was tied to, you know, a television show, a movie, or something else like that that came about it. The best done, one of the best done, one of the most long-living iterations of that, I guess you could say. So the real Ghostbusters is going to take our 9:30 time slot. And that leads us to the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to start with one that's a little bit more obscure, but it has a very interesting history. So at 10 o'clock, we're going to go with a show that maybe some of you haven't heard of. It's called Galaxy High. It only aired 13 episodes on CBS in 1986, but it has some interesting side notes, guys. First off, it was created by Chris Columbus. If that name sounds familiar, not the stupid Chris Columbus that gets credit erroneously for Discovering America, the Chris Columbus that you may have heard of when it comes to film. He was the director of Adventures in Babysitting, Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. He was the writer for Gremlins and Goonies. I mean, come on, this guy is a big time dude when it comes to Hollywood, and he's the creator of Galaxy High. Obviously, Galaxy High is not nearly as popular or successful as any of the things I just mentioned, but it does have its little spot in 80s cartoon lore, I guess. Another interesting note, the soundtrack and theme for Galaxy High was performed and written by a guy named Don Felder. Don Felder worked with the Eagles, the band The Eagles. He actually co-wrote Hotel California. So that's just another, like, wow moment. It was developed by Larry DiTillio, as far as some of the writing and that types of things. Here's another interesting side note. One of the character designers for Galaxy High was John Kay, John Chris Belushi. Now, I know he's come under a lot of scrutiny and not necessarily a good guy, done a lot of bad stuff, apparently, but he is still notable when it comes to the cartoon world. He's the guy that did Ren and Stimpy later on in his life. So the Ren and Stimpy guy was one of the character designers for Galaxy High. So a lot of interesting stuff. Good voice cast. Susan Blue, Hal Rail, Howard Morris, Pat Carroll, Nancy Cartwright, Jennifer Darling, Pat Fraley, Neil Ross, John Stevenson. So a lot of known voice actors. John Stevenson is iconic. And there's been a movie talked about since like 1996 that's never come to fruition, so I wouldn't hold out too much hope. But it's just another one of those things where you have kind of that high school setting with a bunch of kids. The difference here is we've seen it where it's an alien that comes and tries to live on Earth type thing in some of these types of stories. We don't get a lot where it's the humans that are going to an alien world and trying to fit in. And the alien world and what they're trying to fit into is obviously the high school, Galaxy High. So it's an interesting concept, interesting show, very kind of prototypical 80s fare. So I thought it deserved a spot here at the 10 o'clock hour. Also fits a time slot. What were those shows that came along with Galaxy High in that time slot? We would have gotten the likes of Dungeons and Dragons, Kid Video, and Gem. And I didn't say it before, so Real Ghostbusters comes along with Saturday Supercade, Muppet Babies, and Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, if you're trying to figure out the themes. All right, let's move on to our 10:30 time slot. The 10:30 shows before have been Strawberry Shortcake, Rainbow Bright, She-Ra, and the Princess of Power. We're stretching it a little bit, but we're going to go with a show called Pound Puppies in this year here, 1986. Pound Puppies only aired 26 episodes from 1986 to 1987, but I don't think anybody can dispute the long-lasting impact it has had from a toy line, you know, with the stuffed animals and just kind of being out in the public's eye. It was rebooted in 2010. It had originally had a television special in 1985, and Hanna-Barbera kind of based the series off of that and a toy line that Tonka was doing. And it was broadcast on ABC. Obviously, like I said, rebooted later in 2010, a completely different feel, but for a new generation. You had the movie The Legend of Big Paw in 1988, and Ruth Buzzy was in this, Nancy Cartwright, Pat Carroll, Peter Cullen, Dan Gilvezan, Frank Welker, BJ Ward, so a lot of people that you know throughout the 80s. So, I mean, Pound Puppies is just right up there. Like, Pound Puppies and a few that we'll probably get to in later years, I think, are just iconic as far as both a cartoon and a toy line that appealed to younger audiences, maybe a little bit of a skew towards female audiences. But I had a Pound Puppy. I remember them. You know, they had the tag, you had the name. It was almost like you were adopting an actual Pound Puppy, kind of similar to what you got with the Cabbage Patch Kids and the Care Bears and some of those toy lines. So Pound Puppies, 10:30 time slot. That means we only have time for two more. Let's go to 11 o'clock where we see the Centurions, tied for the 20 most episodes in the 80s with 65, aired in 1986. This is a Ruby Spears production with tie-in toys from Kenner and tie-in comics from DC Comics. What is Centurions? Centurions is Doc Terror and his evil cyborgs battling the heroic Centurions. Michael Bell again, Jennifer Darling, Pat Fraley, Neil Ross, BJ Ward. This show was animated by Sunrise. That animation studio is probably best known for doing Mobile Suit Gundam, which I know there's a lot of fans of out there. Some heavy-hitting writers in this. Ted Peterson, Michael Reeves, Larry DiTillio, Jerry Conway, Steve Perry, and some great designers. Jack Kirby did some designs on this. Gil Kane. So a lot of notable people involved with Centurions. I would still say that in my mind, when it comes to boys-centric action cartoons of the 1980s that there's kind of a four-tier system. All right? In my mind, there's four tiers. There's your upper echelon. Those are like the ones that are just iconic through and through. We're never going away. Things like Transformers, Turtles, G.I. Joe, and He-Man. Like, that's tier one. There's nobody else is in tier one. Then you have tier two, which is just a slight step behind that. Those are things like Thundercats, to me, Voltron, probably Silverhawks, Cops, Mask. Those are kind of like that next group. And then you get like the third tier, which is not nearly as well known. And that would be where Centurions is going to find itself. You have Centurions, the Visionaries, the Humanoids, things of that nature. And then tier four is like the real obscure stuff like Spiral Zone and Sectars and things like that. So that's tier four. So Centurions, I think, is kind of that tier three, but I still think it finds itself worthy of being talked about in this group. You know, 65 episodes is obviously that's a full syndicated series, but it was able to finish all of that off. It had its, you know, its toy line, it had its comics, it had all this other stuff. So I think that tier should be represented, and Centurions is one of the ones that should represent that. So that's what we're going to get in the 11 o'clock time slot. Leaves us only one show left for today, guys. What's going to come in our 11:30 time slot on the heels of He-Man, Transformers, and Mask? We're going to get another show that I would put in that second tier of boys action cartoons, and that's going to be Silverhawks. Also had 65 episodes, just like Centurions. Also aired in 1986. Also obviously tied for the 20th most with everything else that had 65 episodes. Silverhawks is probably best known for a lot of people as kind of the spinoff or the second series from Rankin-Bass after they did Thundercats, right? A lot of people probably say Thundercats is the better series. I would argue that Silverhawks is right on par with it. And then Rankin-Bass would also do a show called Tigerhawks, which was much less seen, part of the comic strip syndicated time slot of cartoons. Very hard to get a hold of right now. They all had their toys. Silverhawks, I mean, you have partly metal, partly steel. Great theme song there. You have them fighting the likes of Monstar and kind of this mob setting. So it's like outer space, but there's like a mob of bad guys. And then you have these Silverhawks who are basically head-to-toe metal, except for, you know, faces and sometimes hands or something like that. You got a country guy singing on a guitar, bluegrass. You got Copper Kid who only speaks in mimes. It's a great show. You had the typical Rankin-Bass voice cast, same as Thundercats. You have Bob McFadden, Peter Newman, Larry Kenny, Earl Hammond. So all of those guys are very known for that set of shows that came out in that time period. The rights are now owned by Warner Brothers, and there has been news of a reboot that was surfacing within the last couple of years. So 2021, I think, is when that news of that reboot being developed kind of first surfaced. So we'll see what happens. I would love to see either another cartoon. I know they've talked about this being a live action movie. I don't know. I would just love to see more Silverhawks, because we already got a reboot from Thundercats a few years ago that was pretty good. Not Thundercats Roar. I'm talking about the other one. And I would think Silverhawks deserves something. So I was a bigger fan of Silverhawks the show, probably, even though I don't know, it went back and forth between Silverhawks and Thundercats for me. I love them both, but I think they're equally deserving of being mentioned here in the ultimate Saturday morning cartoon lineup if we're talking about the decade of the 1980s. So if you haven't been paying attention so far, the 11 and the 11:30 time slot have been G.I. Joe, He-Man in 1983, GoBots and Transformers in 84, Voltron and Mask in 85, and now Centurions and Silverhawks in 1986. That shouldn't be too hard to figure out what the theme is for that two sections of time there. So that has been the ultimate Saturday morning cartoon lineup for 1986. We have Mysterious Cities of Gold, followed by the Snorks, The Adventures of the Gummy Bears, Real Ghostbusters, Galaxy High, Pound Puppies, The Centurions, and Silverhawks. So that does it for 1986. We still got 3 years to do. So if you are liking these episodes, stay tuned, because we'll have 87, 88, and 89 coming real soon. This has been just another 80s Geek. You've been tuned into the Geek Showcase. Subscribe, like, spread the word. I appreciate you viewing, and we'll see you next time. Tally-ho! Wings of silver, wings of gold. Birds of steel.